So this is, we're still in our series on miracles, and we're talking about receiving and maintaining or retaining healing or miracles. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, some people get healed, and after a while, when it looks like symptoms come back, they give it up. So we want to talk about that. And that is why when that happens, people attack you who know about the history of the matter. They attack you, and that's not helpful, because they make you feel like we told you to be on your medication. We told you to do this and all of that. And you didn't listen. We said, go to the doctors. You did not listen. You went to that. Then they started insulting the church and all of that. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time if they said that to you. It's a fight of faith. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude. Jude is a one-chapter book just before the book of Revelations. It says, contend earnestly. Now, verse 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So there is some contention. When you exercise faith, things and people, the devil will come. The devil is the mover of all these things. He will try to come against your faith. You want to go to church, there'll be people who will come against it. You want to rededicate your life to Christ and live for Christ, there'll be people who will come against you. You want to start a business, there'll be people who tell you, keep walking, you know, get a salary and all of that. You know, that is sure and all. This thing you want to do, you know, there'll be people who will come against it. If God tells you to take a step of faith, there'll be giants in the land where you're going to possess. Amen? Expect that. Hallelujah. Expect that there'll be some opposition to whatever you're doing whilst we're still on earth. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us something, and it is, you need to have that at the back of your mind. It says in the just, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Though I read it from here, I'm going to read it from the Old Testament and the New Testament. It said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Now, the Bible here is describing the man of sin, the Antichrist. That's what it's talking about here. It said, but the just shall live by his faith. Glory be to God. The just, the justified one, the righteous, the upright, shall live by his faith. Amen? If you're saved, you're a righteous man. There's no such thing as a saved person that is not righteous. Your salvation is righteousness. Hallelujah. You can't receive grace without righteousness. He said that grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So the foundation of that thing is righteousness, but it is by faith that we received it. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, that God made to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you're not a sinner, you have been made righteous by God's righteousness. So you're not righteous because of anything you have done. You're righteous because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason why you're righteous. Amen. The just shall, then in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm reading from the New Testament now, and verse 35. Let's start it from verse 35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. So don't throw away your confidence in Christ. Don't cast aside your faith because things are happening that seem not to line up with what you believed. Actually, that is the faith fight. You've not started contending for the faith if nothing has come against what you believe. You're still doing a practice match. Hallelujah. When you get into the real thing, things are going to come against what you believe. How can you do it? Look at you. The devil is always going to tell you to look at the outward appearance. People like you don't do well. People like you are not smart. You're not smart enough to do what you're trying to do. We're going to come to all of that. Amen. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Put this at the back burner, because it's going to come up also. Amen. When you're giving, you're serving, and all of that, you say, Lord, when is the blessing going to come through the door? You have need of patience. Amen. After you have done the will of God. And some say, we haven't even done the will of God. Then don't be waiting for no promise yet. Hallelujah. For yet a little while, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just may not live by faith. It didn't say the just may live by faith. Or could live by faith. It would be better. No, it says the just shall live by faith. My justified one shall live by faith. That's what God is saying. He that has been made righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. So you're supposed to go on and on with God. Believe him, trust him, walk with him. Hallelujah. When he says that the just shall live by faith, what is he talking about? This word live, the short form of it is zoe, and it's also pronounced, the Greek dictionary calls it zesomai. It means to live unto God. The just shall live unto God, to be devoted to God, live comfortably to his purpose, plan, and do exploits by faith. You live for God by faith. You serve God by faith. When the Bible says the just shall live by faith, it means to live unto righteousness. We live unto righteousness by faith. It means to spend one's existence here on earth. It means to prosper. If I want to prosper, it's by faith. To be blessed is by faith. To be satisfied is by faith. To live a satisfied life is by faith. To have one's life and not die is by faith. We don't want to perish is by faith. That's what God is saying. Everything you're doing, you spend your existence upon the earth by faith. From the day you meet Jesus Christ, begin to live by faith. So there's no downtime. Does a fish ever get out of water? No, if it does, it would die. That's how God sees to do it. Man does not live outside of oxygen. So when we're going to, man is going to Mars, he will carry his earth atmosphere with him as he's going. Because outside of that atmosphere, he would die. That's how we're supposed to live by faith. We're not supposed to have any time we're not living by faith. We're supposed to see by faith. The history of our lives, the autobiography of our lives are written by faith. So we're the people of God written in heaven. We have been written. The story of our lives have been written already. So what about the bad things that you did, things you got wrong, and all of that? The blood of Jesus has been applied. They do not exist. If you repent, they do not exist. And acknowledge them before God, repent of them, they do not exist. The just will continue to stay alive by faith. The just will revive and give life by faith. When he says the just shall live, that word, zesomai, that's what it means. That's what God is trying to convey to us. To be restored from sickness, to revive, to restore from sickness. Or your Christian life is dry, dead, you revive by faith. The just shall live by faith. In Habakkuk, he says, the just shall live by his own faith. It's not corporate faith. It's your faith. Everybody does not have to go with you. So I'm going. We receive eternal life by faith. And we have and keep it by faith. We have hope even by faith. We live life, a sure life, a life of certainty by faith. We're certain about tomorrow by faith. He said, with long life will I satisfy him. Now, the one that does not have Christ does not have faith for such things. You never know what will happen to tomorrow, you know, and all of that. Yeah, his life is uncertain. He does not know the Lord. He's not in covenant with Jehovah. We live life actively and efficiently, do things efficiently by faith. So he tells us, this is what we have to have at the back of our minds as we're doing things. Hallelujah. The just shall do what? Live by faith. How's your life going to turn out well? By faith. I know it's going to turn out well. How do you know? Look at you. People that are 5'2" don't get far very much. In this economy, the way you look, it's not going to work. Your skin color is not even right. You know, and you look like a dummy to me, so you must be a dummy. Presumption is a sin. That I look like a dummy doesn't mean I'm a dummy. Do you get what I'm saying? Presumption is a sin. It looks like this does not mean it is so. There's no stopping the child of God walking by faith. Because you will revive. You will reinvent yourself. When they say it's over, you say, no, I'm just starting. Hallelujah. They say it's not working. Say it's working. I see it working. But nothing on the surface of it looks like it's working. But you can see it. You see it through the eyes of faith. Say, my business, it will do well. Yours may flop if you like it to flop. But mine will be a success. I know it's going to be successful. Hallelujah. When you need healing, you receive it by faith. You receive it by faith. When we pray over you, receive it. The Bible says you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You say, how do you know you're healed? They laid hands on me. Or I asked God for it. Bible says, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, for you to retain these things, there are a few things you need to do or not do. We began talking about the ones you need to do. You know, it's by faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by doing what? Hearing and hearing the word of God. And if you're not in church, you won't hear the word. If while the message is going on, you're texting with Susan, you're not going to hear it except you attend to the word of God. Except you incline your ears unto his sayings, you will not hear it. Another thing that stops people, their faith walking, is that they don't like the preacher. They just don't like him. How can such a one as that preach to me? Or is that not Lewis? I know Lewis. Is that a preacher? Is Saul also among the prophets? That thing you have said will kill your faith. Because he's the buddy Lewis that you used to know. When that person cannot recognize the hand of God or the oracle that person has become, you cannot receive from him with seriousness. So in the book of Mark chapter 6, something happened. I'm going to show you that. Amen? At Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not Lewis? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? Don't we know him? We play basketball with him. And he's coming in here to tell us he's a prophet now." So they were offended at him. They did not like him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his bodies, his relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. He marveled because of their unbelief." Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He started teaching them, started teaching, going around teaching, and all of that. They despised him. Jesus said, "He that despised thee," all right, "you despises me. He that despised me despised he that sent me." A vessel you despise, you cannot receive from. If you're backbiting your man of God, talking all kinds of things about him and all of that, and when he says, "Please, we need to meet in church on Friday," you don't count it as that. Now, there's nothing happening with you. You don't count it as important. The day he says to a situation that you're in, "It's over now in the name of Jesus," your ears will hear the instructions you used to hear, and you will act the way you used to act. And faith's life is in corresponding action. The life of faith is in the action. We'll come to that. Amen? Another thing that could stop somebody from receiving is that they are not confident that God will do it for them. God can do it for everybody else, but not for them, because of what they have heard before. You hear some men of God say stuff like, "I don't know why God heals some people and God doesn't heal some other people." That would throw all of us into uncertainty. Am I correct? If you believe that, then it's uncertain what God is doing. Kenneth Hagin made this very clear. He put it in articulate words. He said, "Where the knowledge of the will of God is not known, faith is not possible." Specific knowledge. You got to know that God is not only able but willing to do it, and not just to do it for you. Why would God do it for me? When we say God is not a respecter of persons, people use that for negative situations. If I do something wrong, God's not a respecter of persons. Let's put it this way, you might feel better with that. God is impartial, which means what he did for one person, he can do for another under the same, who meets the same criteria. And God has one criteria: faith. Do you believe? Believe. That's why Jesus was always asking, "Believest thou that I'm able to do this?" Do you believe? All right, let's use another word for believing. Do you agree? Sincerely from your heart, do you agree? This is the reason why it is contrary to faith and counterproductive if I come to God wanting to receive and saying, "God, if you're truly God, lay it on me. If you can't lay it on me, then you're not God." That's wrong, totally wrong. It's like disconnecting some wires and saying, if you're really a light bulb, come on. Faith is the conductor of God's power. Where faith is not there, the power of God cannot flow. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He didn't say you may not please Him. He says it's impossible for you to please Him. Why? You frustrate the workings of God as He has to do with you. Hallelujah. Another reason why people may doubt the fact that God wants to do something for them is condemnation, guilt. They feel they've done something wrong, and so if they pray for me, it won't work. I've done something wrong. It's not going to work. So because of what I did wrong, it will not work. Now, it may be so. If you've done something wrong, ask God to forgive you, and He will forgive you. You say, but Pastor, I've asked God so many times, and I don't feel forgiven. But I feel worse now than when I first asked Him. It looks like He's now more angry at me than He's ever been. Well, what you have just said is contrary to the Word of God. It's a disconnect from the Word. You are short-circuiting your faith. It does not line up with the Word of God. The basis of faith is the Word of God. If what you say does not line up with the Word of God, your reasoning is spiritually illogical. Should I put it that way? Does sound right. Amen. So we'll take it that way. Amen. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, the Bible says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall what? Have them. So if I pray, or I'm asking God, prayer is asking God for something, right? If I'm asking God for something, and I do not believe that I receive it, will I receive it? No. So I need to believe that I receive it. I need to believe that it is mine. I need to believe that I have it, and I have it now. Faith is now. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is now. If it's tomorrow, if it's 5 hours later, is hope. It's not faith. Faith is now. I have it now. What things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them when? Now. And you shall have them. Which means it's certain, it's coming to you. It's not going to miss you. In fact, it's when you are disadvantaged that you ought to believe that you are on top.